On Thursday's front page, U.S. officials say Japan's warnings about its nuclear crisis aren't strong enough. An American who worked for the CIA was freed in Pakistan. Raymond Davis was on trial for shooting two Pakistanis on the street. The victims' families accepted payments totaling $2.3 million. And the prefab skyscraper a developer wants to build in Brooklyn. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission gave a significantly bleaker assessment of Japan's nuclear crisis than the Japanese government has. NRC Chairman Gregory Yasko said the damage at one of the reactors was more serious than Japanese officials had admitted. He advised Americans to stay out of a wider area than the evacuation perimeter Japan has marked off. Times correspondent Keith Bradshaw filed this report after Japanese officials described a possible rupture in one of the reactors.
It is a serious concern. Among other problems, increased radiation from steam coming out of troubled reactors makes it a lot harder to clean up the other reactors. And the government and Tokyo Electric have, at least for now, put on hold their plans to try to use helicopters to dump water on top of troubled reactors and spent fuel rod storage pools. The helicopters would be exposed to a lot of radiation if they were to be up there now. Before this latest puff of steam coming up from Reactor 3, Tokyo Electric had been increasing somewhat the number of people working inside the plant to try to manage the situation. They had gone up from 50 workers to 100. Some of them have apparently now had to take shelter because of the additional release of radioactivity.
Times correspondent Keith Bradshaw. Thursday's Times says the disasters require nationwide mobilization, but Japan's leaders don't have the skills for improvising or for communicating. The powerful bureaucrats who once controlled domestic affairs in Japan have been undercut, and most political experts had written off Prime Minister Naoto Kan. There's also an uneasiness between the public and the nuclear industry. One reason for that is the regulators in the industry worked hand in glove for years trying to offset the public's doubts about nuclear power. CIA Security Officer Craig Davis was freed in Pakistan. He'd spent weeks in jail after killing two Pakistanis on the street. He was released after secret negotiations and a $2.3 million payment to the victims' families. Times reporter Carlotta Gall says some quiet maneuvering kept the case from reaching the highest court in Lahore, where the shooting took place. Davis's release momentarily lowered tensions between the U.S. and Pakistan. American officials say the CIA did not promise to scale back covert operations. The protests in Bahrain began like the hopeful events in Egypt. Now they're taking on the darkness of the events in Libya. Hundreds of troops roared through downtown Manama, clearing the central square of demonstrators. Three protesters and two security officers were killed. This came 2 days after the King of Bahrain called in help from Saudi Arabia and 1 day after he declared martial law. Some witnesses said helicopters fired on homes in a hunt for Shiites. They said the choppers also attacked doctors treating people who'd been wounded. Thursday's Times looks at the low-cost tour bus industry, where drivers often put in long hours for low pay. It's in the spotlight in the wake of an early morning crash in the Bronx that killed 15 passengers on a chartered return trip from a casino in Connecticut. The cause of the crash hasn't been determined, and it's not clear whether fatigue played a role. State and federal investigators are looking into driver Ofadel Williams. Governor Andrew Cuomo has ordered an inquiry into why Williams, who had automobile driving violations and a criminal record, was permitted to become a bus driver. Also here in New York, developer Bruce Ratner wants to build a prefab tower as part of his Atlantic Yards project in Brooklyn. Thursday's Times says it would cut costs. It would also mean fewer jobs for construction workers. Prefab construction has never been tried in a building that tall, and the construction industry is angry. Building trades workers were Ratner's strongest supporters when the $4.9 billion project was inching through the approval process. Inside Thursday's Times, in the House, they're fighting over knives and forks. Last year, the Democrats introduced utensils that could be composted. The new Republican majority is discarding them, saying they cost too much. The Republicans also say the environmental benefits are limited. Not only that, they say the spoons dissolve in hot soup, and the knives aren't strong enough to cut lettuce. The EPA is proposing the first national standard for emissions of mercury from coal-burning power plants. That could lead to the early closing of a number of older plants. The new rule is all but certain to be challenged by some utilities and by Republicans in Congress. Lawmakers are finding a way around Congress's self-imposed ban on earmarks. They're going directly to federal agencies for money for pet projects. Thursday's Times says agency officials seem to be paying attention despite an executive order directing them not to take on projects just because they come well recommended from Capitol Hill. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton made a stop in Egypt. She embraced a revolt she once discouraged. The trip reflected the fine line the Obama administration has been walking amid democratic aspirations in the Arab world. Rival Palestinian leaders agreed to meet in Gaza. President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah said he was ready to meet with Ismail Haniyeh, the leader of the Hamas government. That came as Israel displayed missiles and other weapons it seized from a ship. It said they originated in Iran and were loaded in Syria. Israel said the destination was Gaza. Thursday's Business Day section also says Blue Shield of California is scrapping plans to raise its rates. Blue Shield had come in for criticism after it filed for increases of as much as 59%. Critics said the big nonprofit had asked for one too many rate increases. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.